Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life, Text 14. Siddhair,
Siddhair.
Yadya Vashishtaratai,
Yadya Vashishtaratai.
Kalpaye,
Kalpaye.
Vritim,
Atmana,
Atmana. Sheshe,
Sheshe.
Svatva,
Svatva.
Tyaja,
Tyaja.
Pragya,
Pragya.
Padavim, Vahata. Iya. Siddhar Yagya Vishishtartai.
Siddhar Yagya Vishishtartai.
Kalpayed Vritam Atmana.
Kalpayed Vritam Atmana.
Sheshe Svatvam Tyajam Pragya.
Sheshe Svatvam Tyajam Pragya.
Padavim Mahatamiyat.
Padavim Mahatamiyat.
Siddharya Gya Vashishtartai.
Siddharya Gya Vashishtartai.
Kalpaye Vritim Atmana.
Kalpaye Vritim Atmana.
Sheshe Svatvam Chyajam Pragya.
Sheshe Svatvam Chyajam Pragya.
Padavim Mahatamiyat.
Padavim Mahatamiyat.
Siddharya Gya Vashishtartai.
Siddharya Gya Vashishtartai.
Kalpaye Vritim Atmana.
Kalpaye Vritim Atmana.
Sheshe Svatvam Tyajam Pragya.
Sheshe Svatvam Tyajam Pragya.
Padavim Mahatamiyat.
Padavim Mahatamiyat.
Siddhai.
Siddhai.
Things obtained by the grace of the Lord.
Things obtained by the grace of the Lord.
Yagya Avishishta Artai.
Yagya Avishishta Artai.
Things obtained after a sacrifice is offered to the Lord.
Things obtained after a sacrifice is offered to the Lord.
Or after the recommended Panchasuna Yagya is performed.
Or after the recommended Panchasuna Yagya is performed.
Kalpayet.
Kalpayet.
One should consider.
One should consider.
Vritim. The means of livelihood.
The means of livelihood.
Atmana.
Atmana.
For the self.
For the self.
Sheshe.
Sheshe.
At the end.
At the end.
Swatvam.
Swatvam.
So-called proprietorship.
So-called proprietorship.
Over one's wife.
Over one's wife.
Children.
Children.
Home.
Home.
Business.
Business.
And so on.
And so on.
Tyaja.
Tyaja.
Giving up.
Giving up.
Pragya.
Pragya.
Those who are wise.
Those who are wise.
Padavim. The position.
The position.
Mahata.
Mahata.
Of the great personalities.
Of the great personalities.
Who are fully satisfied in spiritual consciousness.
Who are fully satisfied in spiritual consciousness.
Iyat.
Iyat.
Should achieve.
Should achieve.
Translation. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, pancha, suna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is an arrangement for eatables for every living entity within the 8,400,000 forms of life. Eko bhavunam yo vidadati kama. Every living entity has to eat something, and in fact, the necessities for his life have already been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both the elephant and the ant. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord, and therefore one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created beings in the sky, in the air, on land and in the sea belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every living being is provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. Siddhaya yagya vishishkartai kalpaye vritamatmana sheshe swatvam tyajyan pragya padavim mahatam yat. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yagya, pancha, suna. By such activities one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. The Ma'am Vishnu Vada Krishna Prasthana Bhutanesha Madhivakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachani Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pasthiti Adishtani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Vaditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So this chapter is called Ideal Family Life, and therefore, of course, it is focusing on that subject. And ideal family life means Krishna conscious family life. You've already read some number of verses from this chapter. Some interesting concepts have been presented, like if a devotee couple gets married, so they're just newly married, but they're devotees and they want to be Krishna conscious and have a Krishna conscious family situation, then there may well be relatives who are not devotees. And those relatives will want to give advice and like that, because materially, at least, if they're older people and they're also householders, but they're not devotees, but at least they will have had experience in household life, and that's something. But if they're not devotees, then certain aspects of their ideas about how to be a successful family will not be appropriate and even maybe quite detrimental. So you just read that I think one of the verses said that therefore the young devotee couple should say to those well-meaning but not really suitably situated older householders who are trying to give guidance, say, oh, thank you very much, what wonderful advice, and not follow it. Because as devotees, they have to be devotees. And that without actually practicing Krishna consciousness, then it's just mundane as like any other family. It's just mundane. It's just mundane. And the future will not be bright. Actually, the future will be bad. They'll just be falling down into material existence, coming up. So these instructions are very important, and this particular instruction here is also very important, that when there is a family of devotees, then particularly the husband, but in general the parents, have to make sure that the whole situation is taken care of, at least in a responsible way. And we see in the story of Sudama, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very wonderful story of Sudama the Brahmin. He had been a friend of Krishna at school. For some years they had been together and served their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni, together. So they had a bond as a result. But then when they finished school, they went their own ways, and Krishna ended up in Dwaraka, and Sudama ended up in some other place. Not so far away, but some little distance away. And Sudama was living a very, very meager existence materially. He was taking ideas like what's presented here and taking them to an extreme, actually. Yeah. And as a result, they were living in a little hut. And some days they had no food, and some days they had some food, but very little, and just, it was difficult. And particularly, they had children, and for the children, it was very difficult. At least Sudama and his wife, as Brahmin devotees, they could understand the value of simple living. Simple living and high thinking, and giving your best energy for Krishna consciousness, that they understood clearly. And don't get distracted and make great efforts to develop the situation materially. But the children, as children, could not really understand that. Children are not really very strong philosophically. It takes time. They have to grow up and start becoming adults, and things that aspect of their psychology starts to develop more. So the wife then appealed to Sudama that, I don't mind living like this, but our children can't understand, and for them it bewilders them. How some days there's literally nothing to eat. So can't you at least, why don't you go visit your old school friend Krishna, he's now Prince in Dwaraka, and ask him for some money, at least so we can feed the children. So it's a long story and it goes off in other directions, you could say, as it develops. But this point was there, that they were devotee Brahmins and they're living very, very simple existence. Really, very simple. And under the circumstances, arguably too simple, actually. Because as parents have to look after their children. They have to do that. That is not just a material duty. At least for devotees, it's a very sacred duty. It's part of their dharma. It's part of their service, ultimately, to Krishna. Not to be extravagant, of course, but at least the basics should be there in a reasonable way so that life can go on without any strain. So here then, this subject is being explored, and it's very nice. The basic point is that an intelligent person, devotee, should be satisfied without, by or with what comes without making great endeavor. So that the devotee can then provide as required for the family. And if you can't provide for the family beyond a certain point, then don't have more family members. Just have, in other words, as many children as you're confident you can actually provide for. So a devotee householder should do like that and try to keep things as simple as reasonably possible so that their husband and wife and the children, their best efforts, best energy and attention can be given to their Krishna consciousness. Cultivating their Krishna consciousness, helping spread Krishna consciousness, because that's where the real happiness is. That's where the real satisfaction is. And that's the thing which is most worthwhile. So therefore, whatever prasad comes without making some big effort, or through performing some householder ceremonial activities, panchasuna is mentioned here. It's not really so much for Krishna conscious householders, but in general, at least according to Vedic standards, there, for householders, there are these pancha, five types of ceremonial sacrifices, fire sacrifices, that they should do every day. And then as a result of doing that, they do it nicely, then the necessities of life will come. As we said, this is not really so suitable in this age of Kali. But the basic principle would be, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, don't over-endeavor. Don't over-endeavor. The ideal standard is as little work as possible, for as much money as possible, and as much of your time and energy for devotional service. That is definitely the point. It really is. And you don't need a house in Bishop's Court or Constantia up on the hill there. You don't need that. And just something simple, moderate. Moderate. That's enough. That's enough. And then when your life is in that sort of state, then you're in as favorable a situation really as possible, taking into consideration all the different factors within this material world. And this, so therefore, we advise householders sometimes, we get approached by householders from time to time, in a little bit of a quandary, what to do. I have my job, and okay, it's going on, and In some cases, they have a job where they don't have to extend themselves too much, and they know the job, so they can do the job. And they're getting enough money, so it's not some big over-endeavor. But then, they're offered a promotion. And we have seen with our own eyes very nice devotees lose substantial parts of their Krishna consciousness through accepting a promotion and then becoming busier, and because now they have more responsibility and having to spend more time and energy, and therefore previously it was just straight 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Now it's often 10 hours a day, and often 6 days a week, and sometimes maybe seven. And Krishna consciousness goes down. And with it goes down one's happiness and one's prospects of doing something useful with one's life and going back to Godhead. Possibility goes down. Prabhupada makes the point in the purport. It's a very important point, which Srila Prabhupada makes a specific point in detail. A point Prabhupada makes in a number of places elsewhere, that Krishna is providing for the elephant and the ant. The ant, elsewhere there's one lecture I remember of Srila Prabhupada's. Srila Prabhupada says, the ant, for the ant, one grain of sugar may be enough for the whole day. Just consider, one grain of sugar for the ant, you know, it may be half the size of his head, or the size of his head. If you got as much, you know, that amount of food, that's enough for a day, pretty much. Unless you're one of these prasadam enthusiasts. It's enough. So for the ant, one grain of sugar, or two, may be enough for the whole day. For the elephant, perhaps the elephant eats more than all of us, kilos, put together. Here we are, what, 10, 12 or so of us. I don't know how much we eat in terms of kilos, but whatever it is, I doubt that's enough for your average elephant in the street. I doubt it. But as you never see a skinny ant, we don't normally see skinny elephants either. And Prabhupada doesn't mention it here, I don't think. But elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada does mention that we also, not only do we not see undernourished elephants suffering from malnutrition and imbalanced diet and just shortage of food, but you also, you never see, did you ever see an elephant queuing up at the factory to get a job? No. To earn money, to get all those however many kilos of food. We never saw that. Same time we never saw a skinny elephant, he's getting his food. And neither did we see the elephant going to Pick and Pay on Saturday morning. He's getting his food elsewhere. So in this way, the elephant, or the whale is even bigger than an elephant. They're getting what they need. They're getting what they need. And the only real danger, you know, to animals that big is human beings. Otherwise, they hardly have any natural predators. So, yes. And also, Prabhupada makes the point, neither do we see an elephant coming to the temple here on Sunday or any other day, or to one of the local churches or some mosque in wherever the mosques are, to pray to God, give me this day my daily bread. We never see. But we never see a skinny elephant. So, what's going on? Prabhupada mentions here, Krishna is providing. That is what is really going on. Now you might say, well, the forests, the jungle, and natural selection, and survival of the fittest or the fattest, and, you know, things like this. But it's not really like that. What it is Krishna is providing. And only when human beings come along and abuse the environment, cut down the forests, then all those animals, the elephants and all the others, they find there is a shortage because the resources of the forest, of the jungle, provided by Krishna, are being stolen by man. And the whole arrangement is being ruined by man. Yes. So if Krishna is providing for every last ant and all the elephants and even the whales, save the whales means from the humans. That's what it means. It doesn't mean save the whales. It means save the whales from the humans. So, they're all doing okay by Krishna's grace. And neither do we see an elephant coming to the temple, not just to pray for food, but to become a devotee and come and chant 16 rounds a day. But still Krishna is providing for them. So how, Prabhupada makes the point elsewhere, how can we have any doubt? Why should we doubt? If he's providing for the ants, the elephants, the whales, and the humans, including all the atheists, why would we think he won't provide for his devotees? Why would he not do that? For what reason? No, there is no reason, because he will provide for his devotees. And therefore those of us who have lived in temples for some years, you don't see normally that we are getting skinny either. In fact, the opposite is usually the problem. Frankly, then one has to, you know, take care sometimes not to go the other way, because Krishna is providing so much. So of course for householders, they have to make some effort. At least they have to be attentive. If they can provide sufficiently without doing any work, particularly materialistic work, in the factory, in some mundane business, if they could maybe do something Krishna conscious, sell prasadam, for example, which actually many devotees in some parts of the world do, or even in some cases distributing Prabhupada's books, they can maintain their family through doing things like this. It's better. And if somehow or other, by the mercy of the Lord, they have such facilities that they, like an inheritance, for example, or something, some investments, and they actually don't need to do any work, then they should, that's good. And they should accept that and just get fully into devotional service. Because that is what life is for. It really is. And so at the very least, we should know that, first of all, we should have faith. Prabhupada quotes the verse here in the purport. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. There is a Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada put it, at least I heard in one class, there are two categories of living entity. One category has many members. The other category has one member. So one is Krishna, obviously. The many is us. And Eko, the one, Bahunam, Yovididati Kama. The one, Eko Bahunam, for the many, Yovididati Kama, is fulfilling their desires. The one, singular number, Krishna, is fulfilling the desires of the many and has been doing so since time immemorial. So therefore, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, when addressing the very same point, because it comes up repeatedly, elsewhere Srila Prabhupada makes very interesting, subtle, philosophical point that according to your karma, you are going to receive X amount of material facility in this lifetime. It is already sent. It is not waiting to be sent. It is already sent. And so Prabhupada makes the point that if a person decides, now I'm going to, they're getting whatever it's coming. Then they decide, right, I'm going to branch out, get into something else and get more. It's not necessarily going to help. And frankly, we see in so many cases, devotees get into some business, change their job, it doesn't help them. Even sometimes they go backwards financially. So Prabhupada makes the point there that you change a job, get a better job, and you may find you end up in exactly the same situation financially, or maybe worse, because it was already set for this whole lifetime how your material situation is going to be. So, yes. So therefore, one who is intelligent should not work hard for material comforts. These things, beyond the basic necessities. Beyond the basic necessities, these things are really not very important. In fact, they can easily end up becoming a distraction, diversion, waste of time, energy. And all that good energy and good time that you could have given to Krishna consciousness, you end up in a position you can't. But rather, with that energy and with that time, you're simply absorbing yourself more in material existence. That's really sad for the devotees, for anyone. But particularly for the devotees, it's very sad when we see that happening. So, yes, the Ishapanishad begins by making the point that the Lord has set aside a quota for every living entity. And therefore, we shouldn't take more than our quota because we will then be taking from someone else's quota, and that someone else will suffer. And when people suffer like that, then in most cases they don't just lie down and say, oh, okay, I'll suffer, I'll die, too bad. No, they fight in one way or another. They steal, or they make some sort of political action, trade union, or whatever it may be, or even actual revolution. Yeah. So all this exploitation, it just backfires in the end. Yeah, and people lose everything. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes.
I have a comment, an example of which I think would apply to how it's kind of predestined one's happiness and distress or one's material opportunities. So my parents, there were some friends of my parents, and they went, they were like not so well off, but kind of okay. And they went on some holiday somewhere to some resort, and then the husband was gambling at the casino. And you know, the machines, like the 7 cent, thing like that. So then they were just about to leave, and then the wife was like calling him. He said, "No, just one more time." And then he got the jackpot, and like it was like over $1 million or something.
Oh, really? Wow. Maybe we should do it. Well, that was his karma.
Then the story continues.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then later on, not so long after that, then they were in this like severe car accident. Like,
oh.
They were turning around on a highway and some car came, was speeding and just, and then like the grandmother passed away, and two children were like severely injured, concussed, and then as far as I kind of understood that, I think that set them back, because they were starting to look a bit more opulently after the jackpot, but I think that set them back. So I kind of thought to myself, like, it balanced out.
Well, I've mentioned before, I read once in some news thing, some years ago now, that one man in America, he won, I think in a raffle, like $100 million. Yeah, really a lot of money. And so, you know, immediately gave up work. They were just working class, factory, he was a factory worker. So he gave up his job, big house, and etc., etc., all the trappings. One day, but then, you know, he had a lot of time because he's not working. So he would go with his friends would come around, they'd go drinking. So one day, they're drinking, and somehow or other, a fight developed, and he killed some person. And he got sentenced to, I don't know if it was life imprisonment or death, but this news report was the wife was being interviewed. And she was saying, we were better off when we were just working class. I wish he'd never won that money. I wish he had never won. Yeah.
Actually, studies have been done of people, you know, large scale, who win the lottery. Actually, the results show that within 5 years, 95% are right back where they started. 95%.
Really?
Right back where they started after 5 years.
Wow. Amazing. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.